It's the Drew and Mike Show, a new week in the DealsInTheD.com studios, and it's exciting as hell. It's March Madness, and we got two teams who are moo-ha-ha-ha in the Sweet 16.
Yeah,
Michigan with a nice draw, too. Wait, does it seem like they've had some good breaks in this tournament the last couple of years?
Are you trying to lessen their accomplishment? Is that a backhanded compliment?
That would be a secondary aspect. It's just an observation.
I know you felt that way last year.
Well, yeah, they played. Didn't they play Loyola Chicago, which was a 10? And
yeah, but Sister Jean.
I know, but still, who plays a number 10 in the final four?
Sister Jean, Tennessee couldn't get by them last year.
Didn't they play a lot of upset people?
Yes, they did.
And this year they're playing the winner of Texas Tech and Buffalo.
It's still a 3-6. If Texas Tech is best defense in the nation, Michigan second best, so that'll
Texas Tech's a three.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They're just not really a team
Nobody
people are talking about.
Of Texas Tech, no. Because they play boring basketball.
Did not know there were three.
Yeah.
Michigan State's got to play LSU.
Which, wow, I was wrong about them, man.
Yeah, they're a three, aren't they?
Yeah, someone sent me an invoice, by the way, because I laughed at LSU doing anything. I take it all back.
It's funny. I think people that watch these games all year are going to get a lot of things wrong, no matter what.
Having
a sweet bracket, it's just there's so many great upset type games.
Yeah.
And today I'm watching Tennessee. They're up by 20. I didn't know they got up by 25.
Yeah.
But they did.
21 at the half, I believe.
And Iowa ties it and sends it into overtime.
Oh, crazy game.
Oh, my God.
It was madness.
Total madness, and Tennessee's one of the teams that we bought in that Calcutta.
That's crazy.
We spent a lot of money on that team, and all of a sudden, you walked in and said it's in overtime. It's like, what?
It was great when you had the realization that that was one of your Calcutta teams.
I know. It was frightening because that...
One of them, 6'11".
I'm in two different Calcuttas that are valued at a lot of money.
Ooh.
It's one of the largest bets I've possibly ever made. But that doesn't mean it's that big. I think I've got 2,500 in.
It makes it more exciting.
I know it does. And the overtime was really, I was on the edge of my seat.
I don't know why, but that game, immediately I'm like, go Iowa. I don't know if it's the Big Ten thing or just want to see an upset.
Yeah, I think
and then I would
be rooting for Iowa in that game, of course.
But then I realized, oh, wait, I need Tennessee too for my pools and whatnot.
The thing about pool upsets is, as long as you don't have the team in the finals or the final four, I mean, everybody will be hit with that upset pretty much, won't they?
Charlotte has them winning it all. By proxy, me.
Tennessee
winning it all.
Charlotte has Tennessee winning. Okay.
I get to spend that money if she wins it.
They are good.
Yeah.
But it's been exciting.
Yeah,
what a
love,
great couple
it.
Of weeks this is every year.
Big Dick! Venus is playing basketball. Big Dick shooting hoops. Passing, dribbling, bouncing, jiggling. Big Dick's on the loose.
What? Big Dick's on the loose. Yeah.
Lots of big dicks. Two big dicks today with Zion Williamson taking on. Do you know who Taco is from Central Florida?
I don't.
He's only 7'6".
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Did I see him in a picture with one of the female
reporters? Yeah, I think you
reporters?
Did.
Yeah.
Tracy Wolfson, maybe?
Yeah, Tracy Wolfson. That was wild.
Went to Michigan. What?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I had a class with her. I've told you that many times.
Oh, my. Well, that tells you how carefully I listen when you say that.
I know. I think you're Michigan. It goes in one ear out the other.
Every other person that comes up went to Michigan.
I know. Like, so did Dana Jacobson is doing sideline reporting.
Dana Jacobson? She's cute, too, isn't she? Yeah, they're all cute. Why are all the sideline reporters cute? What's up with
that? It's crazy, huh? How about Allie LaFour? She's hot as hell.
Yes, very much.
Interesting how that works.
Mesa Tacos and Tequilas brings you a live Facebook. We're live on Sunday on Facebook because as we sit here in the DealsInTheD.com studios... Brandon, what's going on with him today? I was confused about this day off. It seemed a little shaky to me. A little shady for a day off.
What did he tell you?
That was something going on with the baby or something. I don't know.
You didn't dig?
No, I didn't. And I was tempted to, but what was going on?
I don't know. I don't want to say. I don't know. It is something with the baby and Kristen and...
Is it
a gathering of sorts.
Christening or something?
No. This is a gathering of sorts.
What?
I dug and dug and dug, and I don't know if it's my place to tell.
Okay. Well, no, it is your place because I'll get it out of them anyway. You could just do the preemptive thing, get it out, and then I'll have to absorb it for a day instead of him shocking me with it.
So he has a friend that has had a baby at the same time, and you know it's good for babies to have play dates together. It just happened to coincide with his fantasy baseball draft.
What? Wait, so today's his fantasy baseball draft?
But it's also a party with the kids.
So he's missing.
I feel bad saying it.
He's missing because of a play date / fantasy baseball draft.
Yes, and I guess because you put play date first that it's okay.
Is the fantasy baseball draft, is it their deadline?
Sorry,
You can't draft after today? Apparently.
And credit to Brandon, he told the guy, he goes, I'm just going to be on auto draft. And the guy's like, nope, live draft only. If you do auto draft, you're out of the league. And this thing means more to him. Oh boy, I think his order
could be on the draft on his phone.
I think it's Madeline, then Kristen, then fantasy baseball team, then probably the podcast, as evidenced by today. What? No, he couldn't do it on the
on the phone.
Yeah,
sorry, not sorry.
okay,
I didn't want to. I feel bad.
But there is a play date, and a play date certainly is.
Ask Zeus how torn I was about mentioning it today. I was very torn. Because there is a lot more to it than just...
He was very obtuse about where he was going to be today.
He knew he was going to get a lot of shit.
Well,
as soon
now
as he started telling me, I just said, what do you have to do? And he goes, I don't want to say. I said, well, now you have
to. But now he's going to get shit for 2 days. How many people are in this baseball draft? He could not be moved.
I texted him today.
While you're doing that, I'll mention that Meso Tacos and Tequilas has March Madness on a 35-foot screen. And that is true as long as
March Madness. Let me come up there and put my beef in your taco.
March Madness is this coming weekend. We got Michigan and Michigan State playing on. What, did they play on Thursday?
You know what? I have no idea.
I don't either. Who cares? They'll be playing Thursday or Friday. Yeah,
I'll be watching it. So
yeah, great time to go over and get
there. Thursday and Friday, go there.
Get some great Mexican food, maybe a shot of tequila, maybe one of your favorite drinks at Mesa Tacos and Tequila. And it's in the heart of downtown Royal Oak between 3rd and 4th Street. On Main in Royal Oak, 10% off your meal right in the spot. Mention the Drew and Mike Show. And how better to celebrate? Pay for your meal by making a bet on mybookie.com.
Oh, man, did I take a bath on Friday night?
No. What game?
I had 3 bets. Lost them all. I took VCU over Central Florida because analytics liked VCU.
I would have liked VCU in that game.
And they were getting points. I did a parlay where I took St. Louis getting 10 against your Hokies along with VCU, and I bought points, lost that one. I can't remember the... Oh, I lost an in-game bet. Why?
I don't know why I love these in-game bets.
It's so exciting.
I love them because you see a team that has a terrible first half, you know they're going to rally in the second half, and it's just a second-half game.
That's what I thought, too.
It's like splitting... Do you know they're talking about, and I think this is a fantastic idea, they're talking about making the baseball season 2 seasons.
What?
Yeah, 81 games for the first half winner and 81 games for the second half winner.
Like the strike year?
Yeah.
81?
Exactly.
Wow.
Because that way you have, you know, teams tend to have maybe a better half than the other, and you might have some team in the middle get hot and end up in the playoffs.
And that strike year was 81, right?
Yes.
Didn't the Reds have the best record in baseball but didn't make the postseason?
They did.
So you get penalized for being good in both.
Well, except now there's wild cards, so...
But if you win the first half of the season, then why not just rest everybody for the second half or kind of tank? Because it doesn't matter.
Could you win both? I guess there will always be that second team. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it too much. But just remember, promo code Drew at mybookie.ag. And, of course, the 50% bonus... If you put $1,000 in, get $500 of house money, and then stay on house money by doubling your paycheck on mybookie.com. Promo code Drew. Promo code Drew at mybookie.ag.
We got an email from a guy who also put money in and got his 50%, and there's slot machines.
Oh, I saw that.
And he hit a big jackpot and sent us a screen capture.
I was glad he did because slots usually aren't a good bet. I
know.
I'm thinking we're not going to get a lot of emails like that one.
No.
But
we take no responsibility.
Julie says, who gives a fuck? Julie. It's not a sports podcast, Michael. Morse. Oh, Mike Morse is listening in.
Oh.
Well, that'd be a pain in the ass.
Taking a break from grabbing boobs?
He goes by Michael, though, so maybe he doesn't get too much heat. So, yeah, that was... Exciting basketball. Hokies play tonight. They play great against St. Louis. I'm hoping. If they lose to Liberty, I will be steamed because they got a lucky break there. Liberty beat the number 5 team. Mm-hmm. And Liberty is in Lynchburg. That's Jerry Falwell U.
Yep.
And they have no business in the Sweet 16. They were 29-6, but this game will be over by the time you hear this. I'm just going to be very pissed. If you thought I was pissed on the podcast that one day when they lost to Florida State.
God damn!
It was fun watching them win a game in March Madness for the first time in 12 years.
Yeah, wow.
Otherwise, there's a major point I want to make today. Yeah, I want to come back to Tom Izzo. He's taking
Are we done with Brandon, by the way?
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, well, we'll come back to Brandon tomorrow.
I just wanted to read you the one text, though.
Oh, okay.
Because I followed up with him just to make sure.
Yeah.
You know, the schedule and everything today. And he said, thanks, I'm extremely nervous. This draft dictates my mood for the next 4.5 months.
Oh,
and
he's nervous about his draft.
And he writes, and I hope the baby has a good time, too. He knows. He knows it's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. What the hell is going on
it's
around
out of
here?
His control. It's crazy.
Jeez. Well, yeah, I want to talk about Tom Izzo. Nolan Finley had a column today. And
everyone seems to have a column.
Yeah. Are the sports writers doing columns here?
Oh, yeah.
Who else had a column?
You know, I like Sean Windsor's column. Sean Windsor of the ML Solo Detroit podcast.
Yeah.
I actually liked his column. I thought it was very well thought out and kind of like, look, we've seen this before out of him. This is nothing new. The kids know this. He chose to go to Michigan State knowing what Izzo is. We've all seen this before. I don't know. I just thought his column was really well done considering the situation and the uproar about Izzo laying into his player, his freshman player.
Well, what I didn't like about Nolan Finley's column is he references Larry Nassar. This is the second time I've seen somebody do this. Larry Nassar sexually assaulted 300 girls at Michigan State. They're not even in the same. They're not even on the same planet. They're not even in the same solar system. And by the way, no one yells at a player anymore. Is that you can't yell at a player anymore?
It is kind of going away.
Well, to some degree, but I mean, honestly, are people watching practice? Does nobody yell? You're not allowed to yell at players anymore.
I think that's why this uproar is dumb. Is because it just because it happened in the tournament?
Yeah, I think it is because
nobody's seen him do this before.
You know, I saw Coach K yelling at somebody. I'm trying to remember which game it was. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me those guys do pretty well. It also seems that their players appreciate them.
Well, that's the thing. They know what they're getting into. This isn't a new thing.
And it really made me, I don't want to get too deep on this, but, and if you missed it, I'm sure most people have seen it. Tom Izzo got in the face of this player after a 10-0 run.
Okay, you yelling now?
For Michigan State.
Yeah.
They had a 10-0 run, and he's screaming at this guy when he gets off the court.
Henry was not playing well.
He was not hustling. That was what he was most upset about. He wasn't hustling back on defense, which is inexcusable in a tournament basketball game. And I wanted to point out that I like it when coaches, when you don't hustle or you make a really dumb mental mistake, I think you should be yelled at. There's no excuse for that. And I think that makes people better as opposed to, what's the big deal? We had a 10-0 run.
I think
coaches yelling at teams when they win more than when they lose. I think great coaches do that.
I think it depends on the individual. But I think Henry, you know this. He recruits them. You know what kind of coach he's going to be.
That's right. And this idea that they're children, too.
Do you think?
Most of them are redshirted in kindergarten now, and they're probably
right.
19 when they start playing. 20, they're hoping to play in the NBA. I mean, a little bit of pressure isn't the end of the world.
Not to go back to this, but the argument about paying players, do you think if the players were paid, anybody would have a problem with them yelling, and do you think they would yell at them if they weren't paid?
I think they would yell at them sometimes. I find it hard to
see professional coaches yelling at all.
Not usually. Of course, in professional basketball, players make more than a coach.
Yeah,
and they are the coach.
Well, that's what I mean. There's a money dynamic there.
It's a different mindset, I think. But I don't think college players are going to be paid like pro players. I think the coaches will always make more than the players. Probably. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But it just seems to me like political correctness in sports. And I'm not sure, you know, these are sports, by the way, that bring in billions of dollars, bring in tens of thousands of fans, and it's pretty high-pressure stuff.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
So it does, you know, people do have to find a way to get an edge to get the best out of their players one way or the other. And, you know, maybe someday we won't yell at anyone.
But it's not—it's not the only way. I mean, you never see Beilein yell like that.
No, there are guys who have success doing other things. There are guys who probably yell at players in practice, and maybe they're more restrained in games. To be honest, I don't like coaches showing players up, and I think I see it more in college football than in college basketball. You see guys getting yelled at in college football all the time. I mean, it's football. It's pretty tough stuff. So I don't know what the difference is in terms of yelling at a basketball player versus a football player. But
maybe it looks worse in basketball because people are closer to the court.
Probably so. So, you know, if I have a problem with it, I would say I don't really like coaches showing guys up. In other words, showing everyone in the arena that the guy really fucked up and that, you know, he's taking a lot of shit.
See, that's not what Izzo was doing. He's not trying to show.
I don't think he meant to, but I think sometimes you do when it goes on and on,
I think the worst part was, and this might be why it blew up, is because he had to be restrained by his players. Which,
well, I don't know if
Izzo was going
to
punch Henry. I mean, what did they think was really going to happen?
You know what
there?
They thought,
because you know what, they've seen this before. This is who he is. This is what he is as a coach. What's the big deal?
And by the way, I haven't seen, maybe I'm wrong about this, but have players transferred to Michigan State because they don't like Izzo or they don't like his treatment of players?
I don't recall that.
The other thing, the guy was talking back to him, which, you can talk back to people when they yell at you, but it generally, you know, Tom Izzo's the boss. He's the coach. I think the best thing to do is to listen to him when he's screaming at you and just shut up. But the player was, he looked like he was trying to defend himself. And I don't know, it probably made it worse. But anyway, this whole business of bringing Larry Nassar up to me is just really offensive. First of all, it associates the two names, which to me deserve no association whatsoever. No one deserves association with Larry Nassar. Maybe Jerry Sandusky?
Except nationally, I could see somebody associating it.
I couldn't.
Really?
I
nationally? You don't
300 sexual assaults, yelling at a player. They're not even the same thing.
No, I just mean associating. Oh, Michigan State, that's the school where X.
Well, I think if you associate Larry Nassar with a coach who is tough on player, I don't know.
When you think of Baylor, what do you think of with Baylor?
Well, I'm not comparing anything to what happened at Baylor. I mean, if somebody did something now, I don't know if I'd compare it to that.
I don't think they're comparable. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying top of mind, I think that's what some people might think of. Be when they see Michigan State, not around here because it just goes a lot deeper. We know a lot more about it.
Tom Izzo's been there.
Texas, maybe, I don't know.
Tom Izzo's been there 27 years, I think. I think we know Tom Izzo. Yeah. I think we know him pretty well, and I think we know Larry Nassar pretty well. And I don't think they belong in the same sentence. You know, ESPN used a photograph of them together. They were trying to do the same thing, and I think it's bullshit. I think it's crazy. I think it's trying to throw shade at Tom Izzo.
Well, he did let, who was the guy that lived with him, the grad assistant, after the assault in the bar? Because that was brought up with all the ESPN stories.
Well, I think he was a player.
Yeah, he was a player.
Who was a coaching, I think.
Yeah.
Well, but I still, this guy sexually assaulted 300 people.
No,
I could say that about a lot of coaches. I wouldn't compare them to, I'm trying to think of somebody
not
who.
Comparable.
No, they're not comparable. And I don't think, I wouldn't compare O.J. Simpson to John Wayne Gacy.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't do that. And not that it would bother me if somebody did, but in this case, I think it's obscene. And the other thing about Tom Izzo is it's interesting that there's so much upset over him yelling at a player, but, you know, these coaches leave in the middle of contracts all the time. I mean, they promise you, come here, I'll take care of you. In the mother's living room, we'll take care of your son. I'm like a father. And then they bolt. They go somewhere else with 10 years on their contract.
Happens all the time.
And then guys commit recruiting violations or they pay players or whatever. And I think those guys don't generally get a ton of shit. It's just, it's expected. People break their contracts all the time.
I think that's why I'm rooting for LSU, because it's so clear as day that they paid that one guy to come there, the freshman. And some other guys like from Jersey, like they ever go to LSU. So I'm kind of rooting for them. Because it's an affront to what the NCAA pretends to be.
Pretends to be, yeah. I have a feeling there's a lot more of that going on.
You offend me on every fucking level.
I like this coach. This coach is pretty good. Coach Gibson.
Yeah, Gibby. He does a good job.
You need a fucking kick up the ass.
He's tough on the players. But I think they learn a lot from him. I think they know.
How dare you? I despise you.
See, sometimes he's calm.
Sometimes you need that.
I said nothing. I should have fucking woken you up and said, blow me. What? You would like that better, well,
that's
yeah?
That's a little weird.
And that green thing today was enough.
Why do I like that drop so much?
It's so stupid.
Speaking of green, the Ides of March still smiling down upon us, which means Gabar and the Leprechauns at Zotford and DealsInADD.com are sharing their pot of gold with all our lucky listeners. So chase the rainbow to Zotford and Holly. Enjoy their shenanigan-free low payments. And Maz, it's getting late in the month, which always means he needs to really rally to come in first or second, which he always seems to do it. He, you know, he
who
always,
else seen the Leprechauns say yeah?
Yeah!
I don't know why, but in the middle of the month, he always seems to convince me that it's just gone dry. It's over.
I know.
No one's coming in. And then they come pouring in. He'll get a hat trick one day or something.
He's
and
the comeback salesman of the month every year.
Every month.
Or every month.
Every month. Lease a 19 Ford all-wheel drive Escape or a new 19 Ford EcoSport as low as $82 a month. $82, or you can lease a new 19 Ford Edge or a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4 as low as $97 a month. Yes, $97 a month. Zod Ford likes to keep the green in your pocket, so take advantage of these charming payments before they disappear. Hall Financial, and we may open the hotline a bit later. Top mortgage company in Michigan for client service. Big supporters of the show. If you want to refi or you want to finance your first home, your dream home, go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or call 248-308-5000. Believe me when I say they're always working because they always were. It's not my first experience in home buying. I've worked with others in the past. I can say the only mortgage company to say we love what we do. And it almost seems that way. They get back so quickly to people. You can also, want to mention our website. Yeah, click the link on our website, Drew and Mike Show, and fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you with information whether you want to refinance or shorten the length of your loan, take money out of your home, whatever it is, Hall Financial. And I think we had four tips.
All right.
I know. Things are going well over there. 248-308-5000, NMLS number 1467435. And going back to 1988, that's when Adam came about. Men were getting beat pretty badly in divorce cases. There's so many more 50-50 divorces now.
We've looked back on 88. Who won the tournament that year? Is that Danny and the Miracles? Is that Kansas?
Oh, I believe it was. Larry Brown? Or was that 89?
89. Oh, boy. 89 was Michigan.
Oh, that's right.
So 88 would have been
probably
Danny
was,
and the Miracles.
Yeah.
Six seed.
Great team. And that's when Adam was starting to defend men in divorce cases because, you know, it seemed that at that time women always got primary custody. And that has changed very much, you know, for the better and for the worse in some cases. But if you are in a marriage that has really become stressful and difficult.
My ex-wife is destroying my name.
Exactly. Like that man who knows that it's just not going to work out. These personalities weren't meant to be together. Maybe it's time to call Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. There are significant advantages to being the spouse to file for divorce first.
How can I pay child support?
If divorce is in your future, get divorced on your own terms. Adam, aggressive, diligent, uncompromising representation for men facing divorce since 1988. 248-284-4280. Call Adam. 248-284-4280.
I flew in on a helicopter.
What? All right.
That was actual audio from the listing cruise ship.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the rescuers.
I flew in on a helicopter.
Oh, man.
Wow, did that look shaky.
Why is that so much fun to watch those? Because you know they're safe now.
I know.
There's nothing quite like sliding furniture.
What? I figured furniture would be bolted down on a cruise ship.
Eh. Eh, what's the? Then you'll miss out on all the fun when the ship lists.
I love when and there's water. I mean, they're literally, it looked like the thing was going down. And they were acting too, like, and it could run aground. Like, that was a bad thing. If I was on the ship, I'd be going, yeah, run aground.
Please run aground.
Fuck, then I'm on the ground at least. I mean, what's the problem with running aground?
It seems safer when the boat's listing like that. I thought it was really funny, too. There's water coming in, which would be very frightening.
Hell yeah.
Everyone's putting their feet up so their feet don't get wet.
I saw that.
Like, I think that would be the least of my concern, but whatever.
Well, you always want to stay dry as long as you can, yeah. I guess.
Oh, that looked like it sucked.
Yes. And R. Kelly, by the way, was back in court trying to get his passport back, which is so ironic with the song.
Yeah.
Do you have your passport? He doesn't have his.
Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America? America.
Apparently, he doesn't bother Dubai with whatever it is he's been doing. That really doesn't seem to make much an impression on Dubaiers.
No, I guess they don't really care about how they treat women over there.
Well, women don't get the best treatment in that part of the world. But did they have to throw in that the royal family wants to meet him?
Oh, boy. Wait, is that the same... Oh, boy. Is that the same country where the princess kind of left and they're demanding she come back and they got her back? Do you know that story?
Oh, I thought that was Saudi Arabia.
Oh, maybe it is. I thought it was one of the smaller countries over there and she took off and fled and she was looking for asylum and they got her and they got her back in the country. And
yeah, she
crazy.
Was here,
nobody's,
wasn't she?
Nobody's seen from. I don't think she made it here.
Oh, she didn't. Okay.
Her best friend / karate trainer who was like Finnish is here trying to get her to. You know, get us to intercede to do something, which is like,
wow.
Sorry.
Well, you know, since we've gone with the cruise ship, should we try to reach? We, of course, made good friends with, is it Jackie?
Her name was?
She had gone on 200 Carnival cruise trips, and she was, I think, the only person in the world that had this particular badge, which she wore. I think she wore it on land, to be honest.
Bernard and Janice.
Janice, okay.
Hey, what's the Sea Cruise, the real version? I can't find it.
Oh, that's Bobby. Wait, Sea Cruise? Ooh, wee, baby, yeah. Sea Cruise. Oh. Oh, why is that?
I'm losing my mind.
Slipping my mind.
Bobby Darin.
Bobby Darin, yeah.
Wait, is it Bobby Darin?
Yes, I think it is. Da. Unless you covered it. Let me look at it. No, that doesn't sound right to me. Hold on. Sea Cruise.
It's driving me nuts. Fuller's only way to look it up.
So, Frankie Ford. Okay. Yeah. We played that on
W. I don't know why that one never popped up at all. Oh, here's a live performance of him doing it. Cool.
What year? Recently?
No.
Chewing gum. Do me one favor. Don't let him sell you
is
anything
Dick
else.
Clark?
The one that's wrapped in dark green. Okay. I keep seeing out of the corner of my eye this poor man, and I think of this afternoon. He literally
wow.
spent
so
about
so Frankie
an hour
Ford is actually on.
And they rocked him up and down, and he's the only
What's
man I knew
called?
Ever got seasick on dry land.
Bandstand?
Yeah.
He's going to take you on this little sea cruise of his.
Hey, here he's doing it live in
Frankie Ford.
2010. Doesn't look as bad as I thought. Oh, Hall Financial Hotline is open. Of course, you know to click the link to Hall Financial on our website. Go to Drew and Mike Podcast. You can go to Drew and Mike Show, and it'll take you to the website. And click the link to Hall Financial. Fill out the online form, and they'll be ready for you. They'll be crunching numbers before you pick up the phone. And then you won't know what they are. They'll have to repeat them. Janice was accused of throwing her weight around on cruises because she has this badge that she and Bernard wear all the time. And she likes to hang out with the crew, which I thought was awkward because the crew would have to kiss her ass all the time.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I thought it was... I thought she was throwing her weight around. I think I accused her of it. Oh, come on, Janice. Oh, Janice.
One of the wettest we've ever seen from the standpoint of water.
Don't forget to bring a towel.
Hi, Janice. This is the Drew and Mike Show. We're aware of your extensive cruising history on the seas of the world, and we saw the listing cruise ship, and we wondered if you had any experience or could comment on that.
Yeah, like why isn't the furniture bolted down?
Yeah, I wonder if the furniture was bolted down on most of your cruises. See how much you would have to offer us. Anyway, you'll see the 248 number hopefully there. And call us back, or we'll try you back maybe in an hour or so. Thanks. Hope you and Bernard are doing well. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I don't know why. I really want to see this Frankie Ford performance from 2010.
All right, let me look it up.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, no, she's got. I was just going to say, I hope she doesn't call back.
Why?
Hello?
Wait, is that Janice?
Hello?
What happened? Did Bernard pick up?
The reason I was hoping she didn't call back is because I didn't think I'd be able to answer it because Brandon could never answer and I give him so much shit about it.
I know. I don't. I'm really confused about that.
Let's say check telephone line.
Uh-oh.
This is the biggest disaster possibly ever.
Frankie Ford, he's got to be really old.
I'm calling her back.
Okay.
I don't know how to answer
the phone. She's trying
to call us? I think so. Oh, no. What a short song.
Yeah, they were pretty short back then.
As if we want to hear another song by him.
Maybe he's got a C theme.
You have reached 8-5.
All right.
Oh, man.
Forget her.
Nice vampiring time, Janice. Every time we try to call her, she never answers.
She's the worst.
She pissed at us?
I don't know. She had a great time last time. Oh, it's playing upstairs.
Hey, wait. I thought I turned the... Damn it.
All right. What do...
Hold on. I don't think it was live performance. What is that? Is he lip syncing in 2010?
Where did you? Oh, is this him right here?
I just put in Frankie Ford live,
like that one right there.
Yeah, that looks like it. Yes.
Oh, here
yes.
He is in 2003. This one looks live.
Ooh.
Hey, he's got quite the outfit.
This could be on a C cruise.
It might be. There's five guys in the band, and they're all about a foot away from each other. Very small stage. Oh, no, it's in Asheville, North Carolina, Drew.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he doing an instrumental version?
The first comment below. I shared the bill with him in Green Bay in 2007. Very nice guy. Oh, my God. Whoever filmed this filmed the whole 45-minute concert.
The whole show?
Yeah.
I'm from farther south than this. Don't give me that. I can say, y'all, it's the only festival I've been to that sold tickets to the rehearsal.
Huh?
Boy, tough room.
What does that mean?
Oh, here I am. Been back there so long, I'm too old to sing.
Oh boy.
Child for Viagra.
He's the poster child for Viagra?
I guess he does some stand up too.
I don't take Viagra.
I take Cialis.
Why should I put lead in a pencil when I ain't got nobody to write to?
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Gotcha. Oh. I'm so old, I still shake the milk. And
what
don't
that
you
mean?
Slam that screen?
No, I don't know. I'm sorry I looked this up.
I don't remember that.
How many hits are there on this, by the way?
I'm so old, I don't even leave fingerprints anymore.
7,200.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm sorry. You hear there's 7,200 people.
Let's see. Let's jump forward to it. Oh, at least he's still playing before he kicked the bucket.
There we go.
It's not
that
bad.
Not bad. I'd cut the stand-up out.
Yeah, but he's got to fill 45 minutes. Good for him.
I wonder what he charges. For a gig.
Well, he's dead now.
Yeah. I wonder what he charged for that gig. I don't know why I want to know that. I just do.
I finally got to see Frankie live in 2011. Powerful voice still intact. Thanks for the video. Saw him in the 1980s in Ontario, Canada. He put on a great show. I love these people that just want to tell their story.
You know, I look at comments all the time on YouTube videos of live performances, yeah, or even, you know, the song, when it, for what, whatever it is, the video. And so often they'll say, my uncle's playing keyboards on this.
I know.
Or, you know,
it's information dumps.
I worked on the light show on this. Or I've got a version of this of my own. If you go to, you know, blank, blank, blank.
To sell their own stuff.
No, they're just, you know, some jackass who did a version and put it on YouTube, and it's the same song.
I got the chance to meet Frankie Ford when I was working for Romney Dove's Nest in Baltimore, Maryland. The man totally amazed me. His voice. I told him, Mike, away. What, does this guy know how to write sentences?
Many don't.
I told him, Mike, away from it, mouth, and threw his voice to the back of room. That room with his voice unamplified. Amazing talent.
Okay. Well, on the topic of music.
the very last one. Looks drunk. That's what I was looking for.
I always get one of those, too.
Looks drunk.
But I don't know why. I get such a kick out of people when they say that they know someone in the band. Or, you know, we opened for them in 91. With all this information you don't want about their band. We reunited last year.
A nice cover version.
How many views?
495.
Why?
And the comments have been disabled.
Oh.
I don't think there's anybody there.
Do they have a piano player?
Yeah, no.
That's what Frankie.
Dude, this dude is wandering through in a huge orange shirt. It's so weird. You want to see people perform, and then there's people just going on with their life around it.
And crazy shit in the background that distracts you.
Yeah, because they're playing in the middle of this like retirement home, and people are just living their lives. Oh, that sucks.
So anyway, it seems like a lot of people saw The Dirt.
Yeah. You know, the response on the Boner line, 209-66 Boner, was pretty negative. People were not happy with it.
Now, why were they unhappy with it?
Maybe because of how cheesy it was, which I think works.
I think the campiness was not really bad with that topic.
No, those four guys are kind of cartoon characters.
Do you suppose that people who were really big fans of Motley Crue didn't like the movie? Maybe it was.
Oh, that's a great question.
Really into, because I'm not a huge Motley Crue fan. You know what's interesting about the movie? I kind of maybe have a little more appreciation for their music after seeing the movie.
Yeah, well, their music is good. I think their personalities kind of take away from the music sometimes.
Yeah, I was never a big fan of Motley Crue. They weren't my wheelhouse, but I know a lot of people who absolutely adored Motley Crue. I mean, they were there for the whole ride.
I mean, Dr. Feelgood's it's a great album.
You know, it's not.
For what it is.
Heavy rock, yeah. No, I think they're good at what they do. I really do. I give them a lot of credit. And I think Nikki Sixx was a pretty good songwriter.
Yeah.
Tommy's a good player. Tommy did some stuff on his own that I kind of liked. He had a couple tunes.
Methods of
Mayhem. Mike Clark flying song.
Oh, yeah.
I like that song. Every time I want to fly, somebody tries to bring me down.
Hold Me Down? Is that what
it's called? Hold Me Down. Yeah, it's a great song.
But every song that's really good, like Kickstart My Heart, you have like Girls, 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 which is just a dumb song.
Yeah, it's... Well, you know, they did what they did.
I'm not a fan of this one, but...
They moved a lot of records. They played for a lot of people. They certainly put on a good show.
I was talking to Patrick about The Dirt, and I said, hey, Motley Crue is great for the economy because they took money in and spread it right back out.
They sure did.
They didn't hold on to anything.
You know, that's one of the things I really wondered after the movie was, you know, how are these guys doing? Nikki's got all the songwriting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Nikki's okay. Tommy's done a lot of different stuff. But I wonder, you know, he's on Cameo. Vince is on Cameo, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Tell you something?
Yeah.
Vince is also touring at some venues that aren't real big.
But you like the movie overall?
I enjoyed it. You know, when you watch a movie, so frequently someone's trying to suck you into something that maybe isn't something you would normally be interested in, but you know, I love rock and roll, so generally, like, I like the Queen movie. It's about a subject that I like, so I'm not gonna hate it unless it's just obscenely bad.
Did you like The Dirt or did you like Bohemian Rhapsody better?
I like The Dirt better.
I did too. I don't even think it's close, and I think it's because there's four goofballs that have really wild, over-the-top stories and conflicts, whereas Freddie just had like one or two conflicts.
Yeah, The Dirt really made me think about the band, too. And I don't think Queen or Motley Crue are among my favorite bands, but I do. Queen I have great respect for, and Motley Crue, I respect Motley Crue. They were a big part of the 80s.
I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
They had some great tours afterwards. They seem to be the kind of band where if one member is missing, their fans just virtually abandon them.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting, too.
That part of The Dirt was great, too, when Vince got kicked out.
Yes, or quit. Argument.
Yeah, or I quit this band. Too bad, because you've already been fired. I already quit! That was a scene.
I know, and to think it actually matters enough to either one to clarify it.
Which, you know those guys, it does.
Yeah, I suppose.
I love how they depicted Tommy Lee in the movie.
I did too.
Basically, I thought like it was, a child.
I thought it was pretty good. We interviewed him a couple times. I can't say I
think, have we interviewed all of them?
Yes.
We had Mick on?
No, I don't think I ever talked to Mick Mars.
Yeah. We had Nicky in studio. He's a great guy.
I was thinking after the movie that, gee, what is it that's unique about this band? And I was thinking, well, there's four assholes. Usually there's one asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Although Mick didn't seem like... Mick seemed okay.
Seemed all right.
Yeah. And in reading the book, I think Mick was really disgusted by a lot of the hijinks. Okay, three assholes. And I don't know if Nicky
just
was...
children.
Yeah, I don't know if Nicky was really an asshole. I think Nicky had real, real problems.
Yeah.
That...
from his youth.
Yeah, I think I can understand why that guy might go some pretty dark places.
Tommy just never grew up.
Tommy, I don't know what's going on, because his family sounds very nice.
Yeah. Well, he probably did whatever he wanted to.
Yeah, that may be the case. As an adult, I mean... I went on Tommy's Instagram again.
Oh, cool. That must have been a blast.
Stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And I was reading about the, you know, it doesn't get to Pam Anderson. So I was thinking, oh, yeah, I want to go back in the Pam Anderson. And I'm reading the transcripts about when he was in trouble for beating her up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, if she's telling anything close to the truth, it sounds to me like Tommy Lee was jealous of those little kids. Because Pam had to give them her attention.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what she said.
That's and, odd.
And one of the times he hit her, she was breastfeeding.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Well, they had that scene in The Dirt, and because it's a movie, it's true, 100%, where he punched his
fiancé.
They were producers.
Yeah, they were
producers,
so yeah.
No problem with it.
No.
But he did punch the chick on the tour bus.
For calling his mother a cunt a number of times. She was mad at his mother because she said something about him being engaged to a groupie.
Yeah, it was a fun movie, man.
I thought I really didn't mind it at all.
I'm trying to find one scene I wanted to play back because I don't know if this is how it really went down. But once again, it's you know, they claim that's how it went. Do you know what scene I'm talking about?
What you mean with the groupie fiance?
No, just in The Dirt. Which I wondered if this is really...
Oh, the Razzle scene.
If this is really the conversation that happened before, you know, Razzle from Hanoi Rocks died.
If you're lost in this story, Motley Crue, you know, they're in their partying, wild, hijink-filled days, and Vince throws this huge party, and he leaves with
another question, by the way. This party, as depicted in the movie, is where Tommy Lee met Heather Locklear. There's no way. Is that true?
I don't know.
Was it the same party, or is this just three parties?
I should look that up.
Mashed together.
I've got the book.
I mean, they partied every night, so how do you know which, you know, what's true and what's not?
All hit movies are lies. Did you see Argo? None of that happened. And I have strong doubts about The Incredibles.
The girl playing Heather Locklear looks so much like her, and she acts like her, too, like the Melrose Place Heather. I mean, that was amazing.
That was great.
I don't know how they stayed married 7 years. That is mind-boggling. But Vince leaves the party to get some alcohol with Razzle, the drummer from Hanoi Rocks. Vince gets in an accident in his sports car, driving too fast, obviously, drunk, and Razzle dies. There's Tommy and Heather.
Yep. Machine Gun Kelly looks like Tommy.
He does. There was enough of a resemblance there. Here goes Vince.
Whoa!
All right, stop stalling. Who would you rather fuck? Cyndi Lauper or Boy George?
How about neither?
No, man, you gotta pick one. All right, you gotta go to
Cyndi Lauper?
Fuck one or die. Which one's gonna be?
No, you know what? I'm having trouble accepting this premise. Yeah, like, under what circumstances would I find myself in such a situation?
It's a mystery, you cockney fuck.
It's a mystery.
You know, some random fuckers.
Who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I done them both.
Fuck one of them.
Well, what does this mysterious person benefit from my sexual humiliation?
I don't know, man, but you're definitely gonna die if you don't fucking pick.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Heads up!
In that case, I think I'd have to go with a law park. Like, at least he's got the proper plumbing.
Cindy has to love this scene.
I know, but Georgie, yeah, no. Boy,
imagine
he's
Cindy Lauper hearing about this.
No. The handling of penis.
So, man,
the way they depicted the aftermath was, that was pretty intense. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But do you think that conversation really happened before the accident? Do you think Vince even knows what they were talking about?
I can't imagine that conversation happened. It's
probably a conversation they once had.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, who knows how they put this all together. But it worked. It seemed like a conversation they might have.
I like the movie. I think it was good.
Yeah, somebody wants to invoice me for it. I wasted 2 hours watching that horrible movie, The Dirt, based on Drew talking about it. Here's your invoice. Dave, it was on Netflix. You didn't pay for it.
Well, he had to pay for his whole Netflix for the month. Prorate it. Tell us everything else you watched that month.
I'll pay the prorated amount. So,
I like to sneak into theaters without being noticed sometime.
There's a. I read a piece this morning about how.
Are you leaving The Dirt right now?
No.
Well, okay, I was going to say, did you see the Rotten Tomatoes score for it?
No, what is it?
Okay, I'll pull it up. Because critics hate it. And I think they hate it because they don't like Motley Crue, which isn't really... Is that really fair?
The critics will give those candy-ass movies about, you know, some kid turning into a superhero or some kid dying of something and then living,
yeah,
or, you know, any really nice story. They'll give it a 96, and you'll be bored. I'll be bored to tears.
46% did not or liked it, 46%, which is up from when I first checked it. 86% of the audience liked
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, I'm surprised our audience. Maybe, you know, people tend to make more noise when they didn't like it. If you liked it, can you call the Boner line to balance out the dislike, please? 209-66-BONER. The story I was going to mention was somebody did a story called The Dirt Treats Women Characters Like Trash.
Oh, I saw that. It's on Jezebel.
References how... It was on The Muse, actually.
Oh, okay.
There are a few articles. People are complaining. You know, this made me think of Tom Izzo yelling at a player.
Yeah, well.
Just that.
I mean, it is what it is.
It's what happened. What, are you supposed to change history?
Does anybody think
for
that,
the movie?
Who thinks Motley Crue were major feminists?
No one. Absolutely no one. No, they treated women like sex objects, like many bands do.
I think I'd be shocked if you watched the movie and they're all about, you know, feminism.
No, it'd be a terrible movie. It'd be untrue. It would not be about the subject that it is. And that's, you know...
No, seriously, I am super pro-lady.
One of the takeaways from the movie is that it's sort of hard to reconcile all this behavior. And I felt the same way rereading the book. And, you know, maybe the Me Too thing has gotten into me a little bit, but I just... It's so over the top. They just so don't care about anyone. They're so selfish. Mm-hmm. And rock stars are selfish, but they're really... I don't understand. Are they trying to set a record for bad behavior? It almost seems like it, doesn't it?
Probably.
Who's the worst person in Motley Crue, in your opinion?
Oh, boy. Probably... Oh, boy. I want to say Vince because he killed somebody. But, I mean, like he said in the Dirt movie... It could have been any one of them.
And I believe he said that. And he would be right in saying that.
I don't think Nikki. Probably Tommy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So childish.
I'm inclined to say Vince. First of all, there's a video of him, a year ago with Nicolas Cage pulling him away from beating on a woman?
Yeah.
I mean, he's 56 years old. What the fuck is wrong with him?
Plus, he got mad at Nikki for wanting to have a sober band. Here's to your sober band. And he takes a shot and smashes it on the ground.
Well, he killed a guy driving drunk.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I remember the rock line we got. We came in on a Tuesday morning and, rock line last night, Vince Neil is bombed. Ha, ha, ha. And, you know, everyone thought it was so funny. And everyone's laughing as he's slurring out words on rock line. And I was amazed that this guy would go on a national radio show, bombed off his ass. That was just, you know, maybe 10 years after this guy was killed.
Yeah.
And he's been drunk off his ass publicly many, many, many times. Just out of respect to this guy's friends and family, you'd think he would just try a little harder than that.
I think we agree it's either Tommy or Vince.
I'm going to put Tommy in at number two.
I mean, Tommy's still feuding with his kid on social media.
Is he still feuding with
him? I mean, as recent as a year ago.
Oh, yeah. No, that was terrible. That was horrible. The post I read this morning was about, it was Father's Day, and he was like, let's be real here. Parenting is a roller coaster. It's not all it's made out to be.
What does that mean?
And then he's all angry because his kids get things they don't deserve, and they destroy them, and they don't care. But it's not all my fault because their mother enables them, and she gives them whatever they want.
Oh, and he doesn't?
No, I guess not. Although he's bragging about spending $40,000 on his kid's 21st birthday party.
Oh, boy.
And spending, I think he said, $100,000 on his rehab.
Well,
it's just so embarrassing. That was when his kid was mad at him, and he says, I spent $140,000 on you in the last year, you asshole. How can you be mad at me?
It's the Pete, kind of the Pete Rose school of parenting.
Yes. Yeah, Pete Rose couldn't understand why anyone would say he was a bad father because he put a Mercedes with a bow around it in his driveway when his kid turned 16. That was actually in court, in divorce court, I believe.
Joke. What a
so
joke.
Tommy, it sounds to me like Tommy is still drinking heavily. And most of those guys, I find most of those guys to be pretty good reformed, you know, problem abusers.
You know,
so many of them.
Watching yesterday, I'm like, they're all still alive. And then, you know, they say that about the Stones, too.
Yeah, and a lot of guys in other bands, though, and a lot of the books that are written, and I read a lot of them, are people who, in the end, are describing how, yeah, I've left that all behind. I'm sober now. I try to take care of myself.
As people grow up.
Yeah, I've realized that my family is important, that my kids are what matters. And so, you know, and there, I think there's sort of an apologetic feeling about it, but also, you know, reverence for the great career that they were blessed with. You know, most of these guys seem to grow up. Tommy just doesn't seem to have ever grown up at all.
No. No, he's never been forced
to.
He's a child. Oh, Vince has a new cameo.
A child.
Hey, Rob. This is Vince from Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, buddy. Your buddy Tim is going to miss you, man.
He said, hey, yeah.
I guess you guys have been rocking for a long time. Had some great conversations about rock and roll. And you know what? Keep on rocking. Good luck to you, whatever you do. And you rock, buddy. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Oh, did he phone that in? Oh, my God, did he phone that in?
That's the only new one for him.
Why is it so funny when they phone these in?
Because look at how much money they're making off it. And it's so easy. And nobody cares if they phone it in.
Not really. The feigned sincerity is just hilarious.
Yo, what up, Jerry?
I think we saw this one last time.
Freaking birthday, because I know there's little kids watching. It's Tommy Lee, man.
Great lighting.
And,
so respectful.
Susan wanted me to send you a shout out. Man, I'm sorry to hear about your father.
He just read it for the first time. He's like Maz with This Dance Off Rock.
And it sucks. Anyway.
Happy birthday and your father.
Yeah,
I hope you have a killer birthday.
After your father just died.
Keep that chin up, baby. Let's rock it.
Let's rock it!
Oh, Lord. Oh, Tommy.
I was trying to think of scenes, stuff they left out of The Dirt. And
that's the one thing. Every good part of The Dirt is in the movie. Everything we knew. Like Ozzy snorting the ants and then licking up his own piss.
But they left a number of pretty explosive things out, too. They left Mr. Udo out, the Japanese promoter that Nikki threw the bottle at.
I was thinking about that watching it.
And hit the commuter, the stranger, the bystander, and blood spurting out of his head. Yes. Nikki got arrested. And then he was, you know, such an asshole to the cops. And then Tommy Lee's like, oh, wherever he's going, I'm going to arrest me.
Nice logic. Makes no sense.
I thought it was a fun watch. Didn't cost a dime.
Yeah.
I guess prorated. I paid something for it. I used up the time. I really didn't mind it at all. And by the way, if you watch the first 20 minutes and you don't like it, turn it off because it doesn't change.
No, you'll know right away. It's kind of fun seeing the beginning, too, the way they depicted it.
Yeah, very funny.
When Vince brings that girlfriend to his first rehearsal with the band.
Yes.
And she tries bossing him around. And Mick just plays even louder.
There's a lot of tits in the movie, too.
Yeah.
So that's always nice, little bonus.
Even that review, even if that reviewer doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's some new cameos.
Oh, who's new on Cameo?
This
that's always great news.
Hi, I'm Janice Dickinson. I'm so excited to be sending you cameos and messages and to be on Cameo and receive your messages for anything that you might want to talk about, whether it's just, you know, fashion, politics,
shoes, she looks
astrology.
Strange, doesn't she?
I'm in. Yeah. So just call me and we'll just set it up. It'll be so much fun. Yay!
I always liked her, though. She's doing it in front of a,
she's okay.
a painting of herself.
Yeah.
$25 for Janice Dickinson.
I just...
she doesn't have any...
She looks like she gets a lot of work done, and it starts to look a little weird. But, you know, when your whole life is based on how you look, I can't imagine how hard that must be.
Here's Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson?
From Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters,
I just said that,
Grace and Frankie, The Family Business, The Crow, Oz, reminding you guys that I am now on Cameo. So you want to give a shout out to the special people in your lives, the special occasions, who are you going to call? You
can not book Ernie Hudson.
At cameo.com. Hi, this is Ernie Hudson and Winston Zeddemore from Ghostbusters.
He's wearing his Ghostbusters costume.
That's
Dana,
nice.
A happy birthday.
So
happy birthday, Dana.
Oh, you know, there's Slimer behind him.
I don't want to spoil any surprises, but Bill tells me, well, I think you're going to get a big Twinkie. So from all of us at Ghostbusters, we want to wish you a happy birthday with a name
Ghostbusters
like Danny.
Cameo?
You got to be really cool. So happy birthday. We have to sing you the Ghostbuster birthday song. When something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? When something's weird and it don't look good.
Well, he's trying at
who
least.
Who you call?
Calling Dana.
Happy birthday, Dana. And keep on busting.
$75 for Ernie Hudson.
Oh, my God. Cameo is...
There's another one.
It's such an endless pile of hilarity.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Joey Fatone. And yes, I've had people call me all the time and say, hey, you should do Cameo. So guess what?
No,
signed up to do Cameo.
That was your manager telling you
obviously,
that.
You
want the money.
Shout outs and stuff to anyone and everything.
For
so
money.
I can even curse out your friends if you want. but yeah, excited to do this. And we'll talk to you soon.
That was his manager going, Joey, I got a job for you. You should join Cameo. $150.
I love how some of these people like Brian Austin Green try to emphasize that, hey, I've done other stuff besides 90210. I noticed that in his podcast that there's quite a bit of, you know, oh, I know him from this and from that, and I did an episode of Magnum PI, and it's kind of like, if I was on camera saying, hey, it's Julian for WRIF and 105.1 Sports Radio.
Yeah.
WROV.
Your whole resume.
Oh, no.
Hi, guys. It's Nicole Eggert here from Baywatch
and
Charles in Charge. And
taking
I've joined
a break from
Cameo.
Doing bar mitzvahs and parties.
Sounds really fun. So
what
hit me up
so
and let me know if you want me to send you a video for a birthday or a special event or just to be silly even. Probably the only thing I would tell you is that you don't want to ask me to sing. But other than that,
what about
I'm
Scott Baio?
Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, how much
you might know me
judge.
From the endless news stories about me and Scott Baio from the past year that we wouldn't go away. We kept fighting with each other $80.
If you're over, or rather, if you're under 40, you might know me from. That's a great picture of her.
It's an excellent picture of her. Yeah, the Baywatch picture.
Okay, what's she charging?
$80. Which is why she has none.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are some people we know finally have joined up.
I think there's going to be a lot more, too.
Why is it so much fun?
Why was it going to... Wait, who was before her?
Joey Fat One.
Oh, Joey Fat One. Oh, Cameo. Oh, I was going to mention that Eric Zane's on Cameo.
He is?
Yes, he is.
Oh. All right.
don't think he's charging much either.
He's probably giving a good effort.
Are there a ton of radio people on here?
Boy, that's the only one I've seen that I can think of.
Okay.
I don't think...
I mean, Howard Stern's not going to be on here. I can promise you that.
He should be.
I don't think Rush Limbaugh is going to be on here.
What?
I mean, those guys make the kind of money.
Mancow, I can see Mancow. I can see him.
Yeah. He's on radio now. I think he's got a...
Oh, that's right. He's back on.
Yeah, he's back on.
I could see Bubba the Love Sponge doing it.
I bet he's on. He must be on there.
Let's see. I just searched radio. Mark Kay, who's that? Do you know who that is?
No idea.
Cleveland sports broadcaster John Michael.
No idea. Brooke Asher Taylor?
Clipper Darryl? Remember him?
Who's Clifford? Oh, the Clippers
this your
guy.
Boy Clipper Darryl in the building, baby.
Hey, wait a sec. Darryl. I thought he got rid of the Clippers and he was a Laker fan now. You're a fraud, Clipper Darryl. Get off my Cameo.
Welcome to Cameo, baby. This is how we do it. Let's go, baby.
Where are we going? Why are you yelling at me?
What's Clipper Darryl charging?
$25, and he doesn't have one.
He's a super fan.
Yeah. We've interviewed him. He's great.
Yeah, he was cool. I liked him.
Nick DiPaolo's on here.
Is he really?
I love DiPaolo.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Casey, your buddy Bruce told me I should bust your balls so hard that you cry, but how can I bust something you don't have, right? I mean, everybody knows you're a real bitch. Know what I'm saying? Probably voted for Hillary Clinton. He says you're Irish and you're rich. I didn't know you could make that many tips being a barback at McSorley's. Anyways.
Oh, Nick goes to McSorley's.
That's about it. I hope that you have a miserable life. Because you're Irish, you're always missing.
Can he get back on radio?
Nick?
Yeah.
What did he do on radio? He was on XM, wasn't he?
Nick and Artie. Did the Nick and Artie show, which was a good show.
Why did he leave?
I think because he was sick of dealing with Artie.
Oh, that makes sense.
Artie did it after. That's the one show where someone left before Artie, right?
Yeah. Why wouldn't they boot Artie and leave Nick to do it with someone else?
I don't know. Big D and Bubba, you know who that is? That's a big show. Syndicated show.
Big
D and
Bubba?
Radio show. Yeah.
Okay.
Down south. They're donating all their Cameo money, though.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
As is Katie Couric. I wondered why she was on. Oh, are those?
This is all the radio people.
Okay. Yeah. Their pictures give them away.
Ozzie Guillen Jr.?
Was he a radio guy?
I guess. Cool.
Nobody we know in there?
No. Mm-mm.
Huh.
Rob Parker, which we've talked about before.
Oh, that's right.
Cato Kaelin.
Oh, Cato Kaelin. Jesus.
Did you see Katie Couric come out to say that she went on a blind date with Cory Booker? Which, what? Why?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
She once went on a blind date with Cory Booker.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You know, she had a...
She was looking for.
She had an ex who was making some noise at one point, and I know she was very distressed about it. He said she was a real tiger in bed.
Well, yeah, everything went in the butt. Especially the camera work.
He didn't specify how she was a tiger.
Oh, we all know.
I could see her being a tiger. Know. She might be a lot of fun.
Katie Couric?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would think so.
I like her.
I always, yeah, I never had a problem with her.
Does it go in the butt?
Something about having some wild sex. Yeah, that, you know, because she's Katie Couric. She's the girl next door. Yeah.
It's like, are all these women going to come forward with that they banged Cory Booker now? Is that going to be his platform for the election?
I don't know. You know, we got to talk about Barbara Streisand and also the Mueller report. But first, let me just reference that it's Ram Truck Month. It's Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Jeff Thad and Stephanie need to sell lots of trucks, but it seems like everyone is more worried about fixing the damn roads. They want to leave the roads to Lansing and focus on the damn deals at Zot Dodge Ram. At Zot's Ram Truck Month, lease a new 19 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 at just $189 a month. Now that's a damn great deal. How about leasing a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited for $199 a month or a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $239 a month? Speaking of potholes, you get employee pricing for everyone on the all-new 18 Jeep Wranglers. Lease one starting at $279 a month. And we all know the Ramblers can handle the damn roads and then some. Our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram can't fix the roads, but they certainly have some damn good deals. Dr. Yaldo, still doing his LASIKing away, the most experienced and honored eye surgeon, setting people free from the annoyance and poor performance of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses. There are answers, and you can get them from Dr. Yaldo. Another 20 or so Michiganders last week got custom CATS LASIK, the most advanced in the world, and most will get better than 20/20. Others 50 years or older get multifocal lens implants, and they can lose the reading glasses, the need for which is a pain in the ass that hits all of us by that age, and get the good long vision, too. Summer, swim, play ball, read the small print, do all the stuff that enhances your lifestyle without the burden and annoyance of the old technologies, reading glasses, contacts, and glasses. And do what many of our listeners have done, call for the free evaluation, get the Drew and Mike discount, and see stuff like you did decades ago. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Get it done. Do it. Get it done. Enjoy the best summer of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Charlie's got a great new episode of No BS News with Huel Perkins. As
did Huel bring his selfie stick?
No, Huel did not come in.
What?
I know. That was a big disappointment because
Damn. He
was going to come in, but something came up.
Oh, man.
At Fox 2. So
he has a foot fetish.
He did it on the phone, and actually it sounded pretty good.
Okay.
We've heard some calls that didn't sound so good. Huel was great.
Cool dude.
I realized afterwards, I haven't really heard Huel do an interview where anyone asked him beyond a couple things. You know, he talks about his parents a lot, I know, who sounded like they were fantastic people.
Where's Huel from?
Huel's from Louisiana.
He is, okay.
Yeah, and he worked in St. Louis before Detroit. St. Louis was kind of his break, which this all comes up on the podcast. And
you had me at hello, Jerry Maguire, 2000. Ha ha.
Did you talk about those texts?
Yes, they did come
okay,
up.
Okay, awesome.
They did. And
I mean, his reading of Kwame's texts have become iconic, not just with our show, but other shows.
I wish we could request some new ones.
Mm. Love ya.
I need my
Make
dick sucked.
I don't know what you'll read that one.
Yeah, I don't. I need my dick sucked.
Ha ha. I need my...
I want to wake up in the morning... And you are there.
We may not have Huel to do the news much longer,
yeah,
it sounds
heard,
like, too.
I heard that.
I don't know why.
How old is he?
Huel's 60. He's going to be 64. And I just...
So is it not his choice?
No. I think it is his choice. And I don't want to take away the pod from the podcast.
As you can see, I can't let it go.
But... I don't know why. I just assumed Huel would be around for another 10 years at least.
Yeah.
He's so good. He's such a pro, and he's so smooth, and he is really the dean. Devin's been here a long time, but I think Huel's been here longer. I don't know why. I just saw...
Hell,
I just,
yeah.
I just didn't picture Huel wrapping things up anytime soon. So
it
anyways,
seem weird.
It's, I thought it was really good, and I was really happy to be on with...
And then people will vie for that anchor spot.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, speaking of which, you see Brad Edwards, our old buddy in Chicago, is now an anchor?
How about that?
He's the anchor of the CBS night, 11, what is it, 11 o'clock, 5 and 6? Or
I think 6 and 11. I know he's the chief anchor,
now.
Yeah. And Brad's great, and he's a hard worker,
he's a cool dude.
Really good.
He's unique.
So I was very happy for him. At the same time, he's such a good reporter, I was a little surprised they would take him out of reporting. He's that good.
Yeah.
But he should be a great anchor. I'm sure he'll be a great anchor.
Good for Brad.
Yeah, happy for him. So, and Elric's doing great, too, with the Soul of Detroit. I got a couple emails, people saying, I can't find ML's podcast.
Oh!
And I think maybe people don't know it's called The Soul of Detroit.
Yeah, and if or you ML's just, Soul of Detroit.
Yeah, ML's Soul of Detroit. If you search for it. And iTunes.
If you follow him on Twitter, he always tweets it out.
He does.
I tweet it out, and you tweet it out.
Charlie tweets his out, too.
Yeah.
And then the
last episode was pretty good.
No Filter Sports Podcast. Friday, it was Eli and Bob Page, and Denny called in later.
What?
They were talking, yeah. They'll be talking about the whole weekend of basketball on tomorrow's podcast, unless Brandon has a play date. Or Madeline has a play date. Or there's a fantasy draft. I don't know.
I'll text him right now and see how the draft's going.
Yeah, please do. We need updates on that. That's breaking news. As was the Mueller report, which finally came out, and there are no indictments, which, you know, I'm sure...
Well, as of now, there's no... I mean, there could be sealed indictments. that they don't release right away. I don't know how likely that is. Where they're sealed, they just haven't been acted upon. That's what they were saying. I don't know.
Oh, I got the impression
never worked in a special prosecution.
I got the feeling that the gist is that there's no collusion, or he's not being charged.
There is no collusion. They've said that.
Yeah. No, there's other stuff he's dealing. I mean, he's got four other investigations going on. I think it's four. I don't. It seems like more than that. But
we're never supposed to look in the collusion. What he's supposed to look into is, did Russia interfere? And with all the indictments he's laid out, it seems obvious they interfered.
Well, you know, these things, when you, Bill Clinton could tell you about this, when you got an independent prosecutor and they start looking into, it's funny, I thought about this, is like, you know, there's a million people I would love to put an independent prosecutor on,
mm-hmm.
like Jeffrey Epstein. That would be my first choice, I think, right now,
mm-hmm.
because something is going on with this guy, and I don't know what it is, but when you have a virtual factory of molestation with teenage girls, and prosecutor ends up trying to make it easy for you, you know there's something going on there. Something really horrible. But
well, remember,
anyway.
Remember in the Clinton affair documentary, the one guy said, hey, you have the power of the federal law in an unlimited budget. You can find
exactly.
anything.
Yeah, and so, you know, honestly, if Paul Manafort just went on his way, not paying his taxes and living his life, probably he's still doing that instead of going to jail for 7 years. And I'm not saying I don't want Paul Manafort in jail. I honestly don't really care one way or the other. Well, if he's not paying his, he didn't pay millions of dollars in taxes, I believe.
How much money does he have to pay back?
I don't even know. This has been a little dream weavery to me. I mean, I try to follow it as it's in, you know, what is important. Watch the Cohen testimony.
I was reading something that said there might be a net gain for the government here because it only cost $25 million for the Mueller report. But considering the indictments they got in the admissions and the restitution paid, they might actually make money.
Well, Michael Cohen didn't pay taxes either.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wonder, how is it that these people making so much money don't seem to pay? Because these are really blatant. This isn't one of those things where, oh, my God, they've been through this with fine-tooth comb. And no, these were just blatant, large amounts of taxes that neither one of them paid. So anyway, today, Trump was, first of all, not tweeting. And it's funny how that's a story when he's not tweeting gleefully.
Yeah.
But he was playing golf with Kid Rock. As now the fight starts over, is the whole thing going to be released, which most people seem to want?
Delusion.
So that it's out there. Yeah, I also heard that he said there was no collusion 231 times in the last 22 months publicly. So he's playing golf with Kid Rock, and it's funny, I got a text from a friend of mine who's like, why is Kid Rock playing golf with Trump? You know, it's somebody who loves Kid Rock. Well, because he likes Kid Rock and he doesn't like Donald Trump. So
wait a second, though. I don't like Donald Trump. I would go play golf with him.
I think a lot of people probably would. I mean, he is the president, whether you like him or not. And if you like golf, but I think Kid Rock and Donald
Trump.
Just
because he does like him.
I think Kid Rock and Donald Trump go back a little further than him being president.
Yeah.
I think they were buddies before that. And I'm not commenting or making judgment any which way on it, but it was just like I understood his pain, like, God, why does this person that I like have to fall into
not
this
a
category
bad golfer.
I don't like, and everything kind of, you know, spills into politics, and I hate that with my music. The people I love. And the Ted Nugent example, we had Ted on the podcast on Thursday. So Friday morning, I'm getting up and I'm reading email and I'm on Twitter and I'm tweeting stuff out. And I get this email about how this guy hates Ted Nugent and I'm not listening anymore because we had Ted Nugent on Thursday.
Okay.
And first of all, Ted Nugent goes way back with us. And if we could talk to Ted Nugent about music and only music, I would prefer it, because I'm not a hunter, for one.
Great guy.
I don't sit around and worry about guns and gun laws. It's not a high priority for me. Ted does have his, you know, liking Ted Nugent is a lot more than music, though, with some people. It's a whole package of things, including being firmly on the right. And Ted is certainly a Trump supporter. And national security. And so anyway, this person is so upset about this interview. And I responded with the same thing I always respond with. Okay, so you like the show for 25 years and you hear one 20-minute segment and you'll never listen again. I don't think that's really fair. And
hey, you're going to miss out.
And also, the business of only interviewing people you agree with
is
the other thing. Because we had Graham Nash on about a month and a half ago, and I got some pissy emails. You know, fuck Graham Nash, because Graham Nash doesn't like Trump. And so the Trump people get pissed. And so it's like, what? So I'm not going to interview Graham Nash, if you do any homework on him. Yeah, he's very anti-Trump. He's very vocal. We didn't even bring Trump up. And he did a couple times. He just said, fuck Trump, I think, a couple times. So
he was very obnoxious.
You're stuck in this zone of, oh, so I'm going to avoid interviewing anyone that people might disagree with their views. Then it seems to me you're going to eliminate a lot of people. And, you know, I would love to just talk about music with Graham Nash, but I can't tell him what to say or not. I mean, and I could argue with him, too. I could argue with Ted Nugent. But I think what happens is you're going to end up going down a path where it's like, well, you know, Graham Nash has so much interesting to say about his career and about music. And, you know, I am a big fan of his. And I'm a fan of Ted. Ted's not as much in my wheelhouse as Graham Nash, but Ted has done some great things. So, you know, it was just really, I don't know, I was kind of annoyed when I saw the tweet of Kid Rock. And what did he tweet, by the way?
What, Kid Rock tweeted?
Kid Rock tweeted that he was playing golf with Trump. Because the guy that wrote me, who's an old friend, said, it seemed like his tweet was written by Donald Trump.
Okay, so what?
Well, he's a big Kid Rock fan, and he's a big Trump never person. So
he wrote, another great day on the links. Thank you to POTUS for having me, and to everyone at Trump International for being so wonderful. What a great man, so down to earth and so fun to be with. Keep America great! ! Kid Rock.
Keep America great, not make America great?
No, isn't that the new slogan, isn't it? Keep America great! !
I thought it was MAGA.
That was the old one.
I mean, okay, I didn't know it had changed.
He's already made it great.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Keep America great! !
I didn't realize there was a slogan change, so we were going to have K.A. CAG hats?
Yeah. Oh, I bet
Red
you we will.
Red CAG hats? It'll be banned? Oh, boy. So, yeah, so that is...
We can't say make America great again, because I already did that.
I never heard that. When did he say that?
!
Was that his two-hour...
Sometime around March 10th last year.
2018?
Yeah, last
year. Okay. Okay.
I never like to go too far in advance, but let's assume it's going like it's going.
Talking about...
Anyway, I don't usually feel really strongly about, you know, when somebody does do that. It doesn't happen real often with the podcast. I think it happened much more on the radio.
Yeah.
You got more people, and... I think they tend to be, you've got a lot of people who are less married to you on radio because you've got so many bodies, you know, because you're just on the radio. Mm-hmm. You got your loyal people, then you got those people that, oh, I don't like what this guy's doing, so I'll listen to this guy. So I think there's a tendency to get more of the, I hate you, I'm never listening to you again. But with the podcast, usually those are hardcore people.
There's plenty of people that don't agree with everything I say or everything you say or anything I say.
Well, and that's not a problem.
Fine. Yeah.
But that's kind of the world we live in now, where people want something they agree with.
Yeah, that's silly.
And, you know, I don't really generally spend a lot of time worrying about because somebody leaves, because it's like, well, if you're not upsetting somebody a little bit once in a while, you're really not doing anything.
Yeah, boring.
I mean, that's and I've had program directors too. It's like, I got a complaint call about blank, and you know they want you not to do it again. It's like, yeah, but people love that. You know, you get
so bored.
One guy doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. And I realize, you know, there's more than one guy that doesn't like Ted Nugent. But again, you do have the people that love Ted Nugent. You have the people that love Graham Nash. And there's a lot of people in between that, you can't just fast forward. But I just...
Who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I've done them both.
I just hate the idea of interviewing only people that you agree with or that aren't going to upset anyone in your audience, because I think you're just going to really run short of interviews. And it's honestly,
no,
it's hard.
People that'll say something and that's interesting.
It's hard to get people too. I mean, good people. And so when the concert season comes around, I love the fact that the Rolex Music Theater or DTE will get us some of these people. So anyway, I don't think we'll ever have Barbara Streisand on.
Oh boy.
She gave an interview on Friday, And this was honestly one of the worst. There's been a lot of people who I think have been incredibly insensitive regarding the Leaving Neverland documentary. You know, they'll just trash the two guys, some without even seeing it. And some, you know, I think it's really popular to say, oh, they just want money, or I'm stunned at the amount of people, not that love Michael Jackson's music, but that can't believe that there was ever anything untoward with children, because we know so much that is true without any objection or without any wondering or evidence. We know he slept in beds with many, many, many
ignorant fool
12-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and that he did not sleep with adult women or adult men, for that matter. It seems that he just liked to sleep in his bed with children.
Adult men? Children. You know, with some guy.
Well, there have been a few people who said he was gay at some points, which he got very angry
about. The most
loving
thing to do is to share your bed with someone.
So,
it doesn't, to me, it would seem, I mean, we know he's a, as Norm likes to say, he's a homosexual pedophile. So why does it seem more absurd to me that he'd get it on with a grown man as opposed to Lisa Marie Presley?
I can't picture that either. I can't picture either one of those. But, you know, what do I know? Anyway, Barbra Streisand is asked in this interview, and she was very friendly with Michael Jackson. In fact, I think at one point he wanted to do a duet with her, and she didn't. I don't know why, because she did one with Don Johnson, and she did one with Neil Diamond.
Don Johnson?
Didn't she do one with Don Johnson?
I believe you.
Yeah, I was upstairs, by the way, because this went on in my mind earlier, and I actually brought up Don Johnson had a hit called Heartbeat. And I went into YouTube to watch the stupid video. Is this the Barbra Streisand song, or is this Heartbeat?
This is Heartbeat.
Okay, I thought so. Yeah, this was a big hit. But, you know, Miami Vice was going on. Boy, the 80s sure are coming up, aren't they?
Yeah.
A lot. And he sounds like he talks. Doesn't he sing like he talks? The video is just abysmal, isn't it? Dweezil Zappa is playing lead guitar, according to some sources. I hate it when people who are actors decide to have a hit record.
Yeah, like
because,
Bruce Willis?
Yeah, because they're a big star, they can have a hit record, even though the song sucks.
Yeah.
I'm sure they think they're great. I'm sure Don Johnson thought he was great. I'd like to see him have a hit now.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Don Johnson and his crank with Heartbeat.
Don Johnson and the Cranks, that should be his band.
Yeah, that's actually, I think that would work.
Oh, here's this.
Bruno and the Heaters. Wasn't that Bruce Willis' band?
Yeah.
Bruno and the Heaters. Oh, is this the duet with Diane? He was banging her, allegedly.
What? Gross.
He was nailing Streisand a long time ago. She was less gross.
Is this before she was doing porn? Remember that rumor she was in a porn?
Oh, yeah. I know some people absolutely insist that's true. Why? So she? Oh, okay. She did this because he was banging her. She loved his crank. Because can you? I mean, how silly for Barbra Streisand to do a duet with Don Johnson?
Yes. I had no idea. It's a very lovely song.
I bet you, if you compared what she said about Don singing and what Lady Gaga says about Bradley Cooper's, I bet you'd find some similar quotes.
Hey, Don, did you take a dump in your bed last night?
Huh. I think this POS song was in it too. Okay.
The amazing thing is his voice is better.
Ugh. Yeah, it was really bad. Ugh. Anyway, she gives an interview and she's asked about Michael Jackson because she liked Michael Jackson. They liked each other. I think they were dear friends. And she ends up saying that she saw Neil leaving Neverland and she believes, yes, this did happen. But that, you know, those guys are married. They've got kids. It didn't kill them. Mm-hmm. And they were thrilled to be there, meaning as children.
Yeah.
They were thrilled to be molested.
Yeah.
And that, hey, his sexual needs were his sexual needs, whether it was in his DNA or, you know, he just liked kids.
Sexual needs.
I mean, she says,
can just act upon their sexual needs in Barbra Streisand's world.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. If it's Michael Jackson, now if it's somebody molesting her beloved son,
yeah.
I bet you that's not true.
Wait a sec. I wonder if she would say the same thing about Donald Trump's sexual needs. She's not a big fan of
Trump.
No,
I don't think she would. I don't think she'd say that about a lot of people. But, you know, the interesting thing was I watched Good Morning America and Today Show the last couple mornings. There was nothing about it. Not a word.
That's amazing.
Was it? And I went on Twitter, and I did
Twitter.
See Twitter. I saw tweets, but I didn't see her contemporaries, who normally are so active and so outraged. They didn't seem to be terribly outraged about this. Well, is she that powerful?
It was big enough that she actually issued an apology today.
Oh, I knew she would. Yeah. She had to do that.
Well, once again, she's doing that thing that drives me nuts where she's blaming the parents and solely the parents when they're not the ones that molested the kids. It was Jackson.
The parents are,
make some poor judgment? Sure.
Yeah, they're in a different category. That's not to just say, the stupid parent. No, the fucking guy.
Yeah.
Who is beating off while this kid spreads his cheeks and blowing a 10-year-old. How about that fucking guy?
That guy.
Yeah, Jackson. Cut it out, Jackson.
That image of him is so burnt in my head now.
And Diana Ross came out to say, oh, no.
Yes, they made it up.
Michael's magnificent and, you know, I've known him for 40 years. Wonderful guy. So apparently Diana Ross also wants to say
Great decision, Diana, when everyone's just so pissed at Barbara Streisand, you just say, I want a piece of this action. Everyone hate me now. What is she fucking talking about?
I can't even believe she believes that. That's the stunning thing to me is the people that have to come out and trash the victims.
Think about
it. Say they want money.
Diana Ross is living in a different world than all of us.
And all these people mad at Oprah, too.
Why?
Because she interviewed them after the show. So, yeah. Oh, she's never been on Team MJ.
Oh,
Team
Lord.
MJ? What? You have to be on his team and then you don't believe anything anyone says?
That's not a team I want to be on.
And
I'm really shy. I'm embarrassed.
Did I miss something, though? Did the Judd Apatows and Alyssa Milanos and all those people, did they get all worked up over this? Barbara Streisand.
You did not miss
interview.
A thing. I didn't see anything of the sort.
I didn't either.
But then again, you know, it's Sunday. Maybe they only do that on the weekdays.
And I would think too, because
when was this interview? Wasn't it?
It was Friday. I think
it was Friday. Oh yeah. Boy. Okay. Yeah, there should be something by now.
I still thought it would be on the maybe it'll be on the Monday morning. News shows. I don't know.
Unlikely. Not with the Mueller report out.
What's so special about Barbara Streisand? I mean, there were other shit on there that, I mean, it seems that no one escapes outrage, and this seemed about as outrageous. It was so stupid what she said. And those things generally make news, but it seemed, you know, and the Page Sixes and people like that were writing about it.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of internet stories about it. Here's my favorite Diana Ross story from the last month. And there's some other interesting things inside that story that's quite disgusting in light of the Fyre Festival.
The guy that poked Diana Ross on stage, he was in the front row, and he's a Diana Ross impersonator, and he poked her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Diana Ross is bizarrely poked by a belligerent fan and given the middle finger during her surprise midnight concert at the opening of Ian Schrager's Edition Hotel in Times Square. A male fan pushed his way through the crowd for a spot close to the stage. And a seemingly tipsy dude proceeded to poke and try to push the icon from the front row as she sang songs like Upside Down and I'm Coming Out. She grew irritated, attempted to slap the guy's hand away and scold him, which only instigated him to flip the bird.
Ooh.
Also at the packed party were Kendall Jenner, Hailey Bieber. Oh, Hailey Bieber?
Yeah, former Baldwin.
Okay, taking a break from stopping him from crying to appear here.
But did you wonder, why would those two idiots be at a Diana Ross hotel opening?
They were paid $250,000 each.
For doing what? For just
showing up
and being hot?
What the fuck?
It's pretty sickening.
Oh, because you get publicity because these
Instagram
idiots are there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Why didn't that guy poke them?
Stupid. Wow.
I can't believe they had that much money to spend.
I mean, think of how strange that
stupid
is. This
idiot.
Guy's opening
the
out of here. This swanky hotel, and so he pays these two internet dopes to show up. I guess Kendall Jenner's a high fashion model, and Hailey Bieber is too. $250,000 to show up and act like they're just there?
Yeah, to have fun.
Okay.
So they can, I guess, tweet and Instagram.
Did they disclose that they were paid for the
appearance? That's a great question.
I bet you anything they didn't.
Considering those two were involved in the whole Fyre Festival situation and never disclosed it.
And no one enforces that either. Have you noticed that? How you know, you're supposed to reveal that, and they don't, and no one seems to give a shit because they get lots of clicks, is my guess. Just go Pioneers Now. Roger and Sheik also played for a crowd that included Andy Cohen. Oh, was he paid?
Probably.
And Ellen Von Unworth, who danced on a banquet. Who the fuck is Ellen Von Unworth? I don't even know. I don't even know who the hell it is.
They didn't pay her too much.
Ian Schrager, who created Studio 54, Steve Rebell. Everything seems to have come full circle. I don't think Diana Ross is going to be hot again.
I don't see anything on Kendall Jenner's Instagram so far. Let's see, is this it? No, that was a vote. I'm trying to see if she...
Well, maybe it just gets news coverage because she's there. It probably does, as dumb as that is.
Oh, my God. I feel dumber for having looked at it. Ooh, so that's a nice picture. Stupid, but nice picture. Shut up, Ross.
Paris Jackson, by the way, is apparently recovered from her suicide attempt.
Oh, good.
People are very concerned about.
Great job.
And let's see,
by the way, Bentley sent me a text over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
Find it here. He's listening to an old episode. I'm listening to an old show for best of Paris. Oh, just listening to an old show. Paris Jackson came up. Drew said, if Paris Jackson is ever suicidal, it'd be because she sees a picture of Debbie Rowe and realizes what she's going to look like.
She is. I understand her being suicidal. I really do. Her mother sold her to a child molester who told her she was his natural daughter, and she finds out she's this gay dermatologist daughter with Debbie Rowe, who sold her.
Still benefited from it.
And her father is molesting 10-year-olds in his bed. I mean, his kids running all over the house.
It's just
she lives at Disneyland.
Why is she denying that this happened, though? Because that was the big thing. Like, there's no suicide attempt. Don't you think that's weird?
For her, it is. Well, she just got out of rehab for psychological issues. Remember, she wasn't abusing anything, but she went to rehab anyway. And she just got out.
She's very tired.
And after the suicide attempt, apparently her camp, I guess Paris Jackson is big enough to have a camp.
Yeah. You know what the camp's called? The Jacksons.
They tried to get her to go back into rehab, and she refused to. And then I read that she has assured her fans that she's okay. First of all, who are her fans? What are they a fan of?
The Jacksons. It's just the Jacksons.
But she's his unrelated daughter who was sold by... She's Debbie Rowe's daughter. You realize you're a fan of Debbie Rowe's daughter?
I'm in pain all the time.
And Arnie Klein.
Are they Debbie Rowe fans? Are they? Maybe they're Arnie Klein fans.
Debbie Rowe fans. I love the way that she married Jackson and gave him the kids. Nobody has ever given kids over better than Debbie Rowe.
Isn't that weird?
She's the Michael Jordan of handing kids over.
Isn't that just so weird that, you know, we're watching Michael Jackson real time in our lives. We're adults. We're watching this. We're reading about him. Everyone knows him. He's the biggest, you know, personality in the world, possibly. And he's sleeping with 10-year-olds and paying them. He just paid that kid $23 million. He marries Elvis's kid. That lasts a year. That's a joke. They're never even together.
I was outraged.
And then the next thing you know, suddenly he has kids, but he has no girlfriend. And, the mother, it looks like, is Debbie Rowe. And they're not together. They're never together. And then Debbie Rowe has nothing to do with the kids, and they're his kids.
It's crazy.
Now, didn't you know the minute that Michael Jackson and Debbie Rowe had kids that if they split up, they would be his kids? You knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knew that.
He's the better parent.
And then,
he doesn't hand kids over.
he always gets what he wants.
Yeah,
we find out years later she sold them to Michael Jackson. Well, she didn't sell them. She was given a large sum of money, and she signed a lot of business papers, including a no-disclosure arrangement of some kind, and she never sees the kids, and they're only his kids, and they look nothing like him.
I always get what I want.
It's just so weird. It's all so weird. But anyway, she assured her fans.
Thank God.
That she's okay.
I was worried.
And she is eating better, she's exercising, and she's working on psychological issues. They didn't mention the fact that she's still clubbing because TMZ caught her going in and out of a club with rabbit ears on, and she's like kind of hiding her head from all the cameras that are flashing, wearing rabbit ears. I think wearing rabbit ears draws attention to you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And did people really go,
we got to follow Paris Jackson around?
Or does she tell people she's going to be there, hoping the cameras will come?
She's going to be there and because she knows the cameras are there. That's the whole thing. You don't see Prince anywhere. No one knows where
that's true.
Where Blanket is.
And then she leaves, and she's pushed into this car like the president, like she's escaping danger. You know, it's just so, oh, my God, how stupid.
We were wondering, like, where LaToya has been and if she was with someone corrected us.
We need her to comment on this.
We do know where she's been. She was in The Masked Singer.
Oh.
She was one of
LaToya
the masked.
LaToya was? Yes. Really? Yeah. How bad was she?
She couldn't say anything. She was pretty bad. She lasted a few rounds. She wasn't as bad as Tommy Chong. Frightened, like the Jacksons were watching her every word.
Does she look? Is she?
She looks like LaToya. She hasn't changed in 30 years.
Oh, okay. I thought there was one time when I thought she was really pretty.
But where? Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, for like a year, and then she did something to herself.
Did you ever think Michael was really pretty?
No,
I didn't. The same.
I did not. Let me see if I can find a current picture of her. LaToya.
See, she's done interviews, and did anybody ask her about it? There she is from The Masked Singer. Of course, the interview was done by Entertainment Tonight. I don't think they would ask about Leaving Neverland.
Yes, that's right. LaToya Jackson is the face behind the alien on The Masked Singer.
Who are you?
She joins us today in studio. LaToya, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, we are obsessed with The Masked Singer. We got onto this early. We were big fans.
Well, you don't have a lot going on in your life then, my man.
All the time.
She doesn't look terrible.
She looks exactly the same.
How do you feel about putting on a mask and singing? What were your thoughts? Did you think they were crazy?
Michael sang in a mask all the time. I thought it was very different, mm-hmm. very unique. I love the concept, the whole bit. However, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it. Because
Why'd she
I
get
was
Michael's nose person to do her nose? Doesn't her nose look weird?
She liked the way it looked.
I decided to think about it, and I asked someone, my mother, and she says, honey, go ahead and do it. Because I was a bit hesitant not knowing.
Wait, how old is she?
50 something.
You need to ask her mom.
Yeah, Catherine has a good feel for that sort of thing.
No, I love the show.
Was that your first concern? Is the quality of the other singers? It wasn't putting on a giant the costume.
Well, I wanted to know if I were to do a costume, and I came on board very at the end because I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to know what costume would I be wearing? What are they like? And the whole bit. And there's only two left, and it was the alien and something else is what I was shown. Mm-hmm. And out of the two, I said, well, let me just do the alien because I didn't know what that other one was. It was things everywhere.
Yeah.
I had no clue. Yeah.
They bring you in and they were like standing up in the room and they're like, all right, LaToya.
No, actually, I was in Europe. So it was.
We go back to when you talked about your brother signing all those fat checks to little kids' families.
Do you think this Mr. Hard Part in his hair is going to ask that?
I don't think so.
Seriously, I can't stop staring at that hard part that he is.
Who is this ET live person?
I had a good idea that you'd be able to do this and people wouldn't know.
Well, I was hoping that they wouldn't.
My God, who cares about the Masked Singer? It's a real thing, a real competition.
Yeah, I brought up some pictures of her. She looks like she's taken some weight off because she looked kind of heavy.
She's all yours.
No, I didn't want her. Just saying.
Hey, Jackson's payoffs reminded me. There's a big story, and I know you've talked about this before. The Jehovah Witnesses, and their sealing their database of child molesters.
Yeah.
The Atlantic, another huge story on that. Where they sent out a 12-question survey to every single hall of the Jehovah's Witnesses to tell us, hey, let's hear about the child abuse. I didn't remember when we talked about this before. Did you ever talk about their two witness rule? In other words, nothing happens unless two witnesses see it.
Right.
That's their way of justifying
In their world, in order to report it to the headquarters has some crazy
name. Watchtower.
The Watchtower, yeah. And that's their way of keeping everything in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But they never tell the police.
No.
So the names are all in the church, and then when they were forced to, when somebody took them to court and said, these names need to be given to the police, they finally sent something from the Watchtower with all the names redacted.
Yep.
And then they ended up paying a giant fine. I mean, it was like $1 billion fine or something.
Just like Jackson in 2014, a guy named George Lopez, not the comedian George Lopez, he got $13.5 million after he sued the Watchtower.
But see, they have the money. They'd rather keep these people a secret and occasionally pay a large sum of money. Yeah, they've got a huge amount. They're like Scientology, it sounds like.
In 2012, a jury awarded a woman, Candace Conte, $28 million, which might have been the largest sum ever awarded to a single accuser in a child abuse case against a religious organization.
Think Michael Jackson's got to be would be larger with inflation?
That's incredible. 770 5 blue envelopes from 97 to 2001. Just in that time span, when the blue envelopes means, you know, alleged abuse. That's crazy. Nice religion.
I know. Well, you know, I'm going through this thing now where I feel like I don't think we really care about child molestation. It really seems like we really don't care. Because I was starting to feel like, wow, we're really doing something about this. And then it seems like you look at a bunch of other things and you go, nobody really cares. R. Kelly, you know, this goes on and on and on and on. And all these great artists continue to work with him. And he goes to Little Caesars Arena in 2018 and, you know, they sell most of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michael Jackson, all these people defend Michael Jackson. They don't even bother to say something. A lot of things I didn't like about what he was doing. I just don't think he molested kids. I mean, I wish they would at least say that.
No, as long as you have a lot of money, no one cares. Either be it because you're a religion or because you're a musician. I don't understand it.
Well, and then the Catholic Church, there's an investigation in virtually every state right now. Michigan just put aside $2 million, or Gretchen Whitmer wants to. And I can't remember what state it was, but one state said they believe there are 400 pedophile priests in the church, and they want to know who they are, and they want them out of the church, or they want them in safe space. So, you know, it makes me wonder, does anybody really, I mean, do we really not care? Because people said that about R. Kelly. You know what? We don't care about young black women. We just think they're fast and they want fame or whatever. They want R. Kelly. And I was really having trouble believing that. But then I kind of look at this broadly and go, I don't know. It just seems like really nobody cares. It's just not a big deal.
If you make a good song.
And all these teen pregnancies, which are primarily by guys who are much older.
Yeah.
It's very commonplace.
This is not about music!
If I had a girl that was 14 or 15 and her boyfriend was 21, I'd be going, no fucking way. Mm-hmm. No, that's sick. That's twisted. We know where he's going. It's a frustrating topic. Just seems like it's just around us all the time lately between Penn State and Larry Nassar and Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, this fucking
religions,
Jeffrey Epstein guy. Yeah, these religions protecting their people. It's like, but churches, you would never think churches would do this.
A lot of money there.
This Jeffrey Epstein is just the, I really want to know what happened there. I know he's a billionaire. I listened to a podcast about it, by the way.
Is this the one you were listening to on Thursday?
Yeah.
Brandon and I were laughing because the way the guy talked was really into whatever he was saying.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the podcast.
It was kind of driving us nuts down here. We weren't really paying attention or listening. We would just hear his over inflection.
Yeah, it was the podcast is called the Bastard. Wait, Bastard Behind the Money? Shoot, somebody emailed it. And I'll get that off the email and pass it along. I'm not sure I'm a fan. I would like to listen to a couple other shows, but they had two shows on Jeffrey Epstein and
good luck with the podcast.
It's you know, I will listen to almost any podcast now. If I find out somebody has a podcast, which is like every second, I like looking it up immediately, playing the first 5 minutes, because I can usually tell you in the first 5 minutes that, that one's over before it started. Because now that anyone can have a podcast, it's not like anyone having a morning show. I mean, morning shows, there's some process, and I'm not real impressed with it all the time, where people decide this would work for our radio format. But with podcasting, anyone with a microphone can have a podcast, and amazingly, almost everyone seems to. So
a very popular one is This American Life, the NPR one. In the last episode, had the guy whose child was murdered at Sandy Hook.
Oh.
The Newtown Massacre.
Oh, wow.
And he's the one that has been trolled mercilessly online.
Okay.
And it is utterly fascinating because he decided after a year and a half he couldn't let it go anymore and he was going to fight it. And he's been fighting Alex Jones because he was a listener of Alex Jones's too beforehand.
What? Really? Yes. What's his name? What was the name of the podcast?
This American Life. It's a very, very popular one.
Is this episode have a name to it?
I can't. Let me look it up on my phone.
Because that's another story.
Fascinating, and they go into a lot of Alex Jones type stuff. And there's this clip of him telling a story about why I moved to Austin because I was at a pool party and these cops showed up. The same cops that sold us drugs, and then they tried to set him up. And that's when he realized that government's corrupt. And then, of course, it turns out the whole story's bullshit. and that he was kind of a bully when he was in high school. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting hearing this guy talk about trying to fight to get his kid removed from all these trolls and how much he's been trolled. It's called Beware the Jabberwock. That's Beware the episode the name, yeah, from This American Life.
I'm just...
It's all about conspiracy theories.
I always thought there was so much sensitivity when it came to, you know, kids. And sometimes it just seems like, no, there's none. No, nobody cares.
Not really.
Let the guy with the most money do whatever he wants.
After all this, isn't a person's self-interest what really matters to them?
Yeah.
And what they like and what they support. It really is.
But when somebody, you know, has a child killed, I think that... I'm just so amazed that anyone would buy into this business that, it's all a fake thing. It's a conspiracy. These kids are actors. And if you had any doubt, any, even a scintilla of doubt, you go, okay, I'm not going there.
Err on the side of
what the fuck? What if this really happened? And by the way, it really happened. And I don't think there were many reasons to think it didn't happen.
One of the things that the Alex Jones InfoWars people really keyed in on is Anderson Cooper did an interview with the guy's wife.
Yeah. Where, and there's a green screen.
Because there was a glitch in the satellite. That's more likely that he wouldn't be in the town center in front of a green screen than there being a glitch in a satellite. It's
insanity.
I saw that.
He's screaming at the glitch. And Jesus Christ. That's so stupid. Asshole. I know.
Speaking of assholes, tonight's Johnny Manziel's debut in the AAF.
Oh. I'll be all over that.
I don't
know
how he's going to do because he's got this on his mind to deal with.
Skip the hokey game for this.
You saw that his wife deleted him from Instagram and changed her name on Instagram.
Oh, his new wife?
His brand new wife.
What?
Yeah, and there's a story, an updated story there about it. And what she's doing. What happened between Johnny Football and his very attractive wife?
After wife Bree Tiesi. That's her name? I thought it was somebody else.
Her name, yeah.
Scrubbed her. What happened to the woman whose eardrum he broke? Did he ever go to trial for that? Or did they say, oh, no, he has too much money, so forget it?
You know what? I don't know. I'll look it up while you read that.
Scrub most traces of the quarterback from her Instagram page. Mom posted a photo of herself in Bali. Oh, she's in Bali. She's doing so well.
Nice. But of course, people attacked her for going to Bali. To which she responded.
Responded to comments to be about the current status of a relationship. Ag Kimmy, maybe you should wonder why I would leave him instead of worrying about money. Lucky for him, I don't. Instead of worrying about money?
Yeah, a lot of people are painting her as a gold digger.
Oh, I see. Lucky for him, I don't air out personals, and lucky for you, you are behind a screen, you lowlife. TSE replied to another, Matt, you've been married? You've been betrayed? I don't do betrayal for a person I was devoted to, period. Vows are broken. Fuck money. Fuck you and every other loser on here. Why is she responding to these idiots?
Oh.
By the way, who are these people? Oh, my God. Someone's left Johnny Manziel. They must have done him wrong. They want his money. Isn't she a model? Does she possibly have her own money?
Yeah. I mean, she's beautiful.
Everyone should not have a voice. How often does it have to be proven? Oh, my God.
There's a picture of her in Bali. She looks like she's having a pretty good time.
Who the fuck would troll Johnny Manziel's ex? I mean, if Johnny Manziel breaks up with a girl or a girl breaks up with him, I'm assuming that he did something horrible.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's got
it's
a
only
track.
Natural.
He's got a track record. And the girlfriend is Colleen Crowley. And all this says is that he was indicted by a grand jury on a misdemeanor assault charge. So I don't know if he settled it or.
Probably did.
Where that's
probably
at.
Probably paid or something. As for Manziel, he appears focused on the next chapter of his football career. Oh, yeah. Posted a photo of himself in a Memphis Express uniform on Instagram days after the account was thought to have disappeared. He captioned the photo with praying hands emoji. He's so religious. They married last year. Oh, he's such a... honestly,
8 o'clock tonight, the Memphis, whatever the hell their nickname is.
The Express.
Memphis Express.
Isn't FedEx...
that's right.
Are they headquartered there?
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember that from the Tom Hanks movie. Yeah. It was one big FedEx commercial.
This girl doesn't have any clothes. I feel bad. Oh, there's some clothes. Most of her pictures are bikinis or leggings. What are you doing with Manziel?
Here's another Instagram page of someone who you can see a photo of her every 2 hours if you like. Oh, she's working out.
Which is all just squats.
How many millions of people are following this dope? And I say dope because anyone that would marry Johnny Manziel has to be a dope.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'm going to guess at least a million.
370,000.
Oh, that's all.
Not too bad.
Oh, there's less idiots than I thought.
Well, she's got an Instagram story titled Hubby. But it's not like he cheated on her. Couldn't, yeah, so.
I'm sure he didn't do anything wrong. Can you check out David Hogg's tweet on the suicides? Two people from his class at Parkland have killed themselves in the last week. And I got the impression.
It's awful.
I got the impression that they have survivor's guilt and PTSD.
Yeah. Well, the one girl, her boyfriend was killed. And I think that's the guy that went to the White House, isn't it? Remember that guy that was at the White House with the rest of his kids? Very forceful guy.
Oh, yes, yes.
His kid died, and I thought that that was his girlfriend. So let's see, what did Hogg tweet today? If Donald Trump can spend $91 million on golf trips to Mar-a-Lago while our kids suffer from trauma, he can fund mental health. If mental health is your solution, please make that a priority. Please allocate the money. So that's the only thing I see that he's tweeted. Oh, wait, no, here's another one.
It sounded like he had a...
Well, he's been very active on Twitter today.
Let's see, David Hunt, did you read his tweet after the second Parkland suicide?
I mean, he's been tweeting. He's tweeted so much. What do they say about it?
I'll just ask.
I mean, what's...
So you don't see anything really particularly interesting?
No, not really. But there's just so much of it.
All right. Well, Hogg's always...
How many more kids have to be taken from us as a result of suicide for the government school district to do anything? RIP 17 plus 2. I mean, you can understand why you'd be upset.
Yeah.
The thing's fucked up.
Well, you know, I've been so annoyed by David Hogg because he just thinks that he should be allowed to decide everything because his school was shot. He wasn't shot, by the way. His school was shot at, and nobody thinks that should have happened to him. I sympathize with anybody who went through that, but he just he seemed to get a little too full of himself, and I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way. You know, when he starts,
Louis C.K. feels that way.
When he starts checking in on trade policy, and
it doesn't make him an expert on
anything.
No,
it doesn't.
But he can talk about the aftermath of a school shooting all he wants.
And, you know, he got into Harvard with it, which, by the way, how did he get into Harvard?
I don't know. Maybe his parents paid that same guy that...
Rick Singer?
Aunt Becky paid, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would think people might be talking about that right now. Now that that came up, because he couldn't get into UCLA, he couldn't get into Cal State Chico. There were two other schools he couldn't get into, and...
Now some Asian doesn't get into Harvard because Hogg does.
And he was making a big stink about it, saying, if you don't want to be part of the revolution, then fine. And then Laura Ingraham tweeted out that he was whining about not getting to these schools. And then he demanded a boycott of her. And
it worked. Yeah.
And it worked. 12 companies pulled their advertising from her for basically telling the truth that, yes, he was whining. But he said she was trolling a school shooting victim, which, by the way, he wasn't a victim.
Wow.
He wasn't shot.
Well, I guess that depends how you want to define victim.
I would
don't really
say
want to be in a building that was shot up.
I would not put him in the category of the people that were hit by bullets. And
But he's still a victim. His school was shot up.
Secondary victim.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
Oh, now what?
Brandon replied. Asked him how the draft was going. Dude, killing it. So nervous to get to the later rounds. And he sent me a picture of his
I'm not nervous about taking a day off for a play date, but... nervous about his draft.
They wrote weak on relief pitching, though. I'm going to say, how's the baby?
The play date going.
Oh, Brandon. That's just adorable. That's great. Did you see Robert Kraft is sorry?
Yes,
he apologized. Nobody know what is he apologizing for? Is this an admission of guilt?
I was confused.
Fighting
because
the charges.
He said that nothing. He didn't do anything wrong. But he's sorry to all the women in his life, and he's...
For what?
He's sorry to a lot of people. Sorry to... He mentioned fans, too, and I thought, are people really fans of Robert Kraft?
Well, yeah,
honestly, do you go, Robert Kraft! I'm a fan.
Sorry, not sorry.
Wouldn't that be better if he just said that?
I'm just saying what everyone's thinking here. Sorry, not sorry.
He's not sorry. Nothing's going to happen to him. He's got plenty of money. The only thing he's going to be upset about is when that video comes out.
Well, that's what he's trying to prevent, and I guess...
Nah, it's not going too well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it sounds like it's, you're going to be able to... You, Drew, will be able to see...
I want
to
see it.
Robert Kraft getting beat off in service by two elderly Asian women.
I want to see that movie.
I like to help minorities.
I got to believe that if he's 77, if they got him off, they got him off fast, too. I got to believe there's some... Somebody
some
knows
skill?
What they're doing.
Well, they're professionals.
I'm sorry.
True. I didn't... you know, on the Rick Singer USC deal, mm-hmm. It sounds like USC is just the house of corruption.
Oh,
like
boy, yeah.
Anybody can get in there with money, and but I'm just cracking up because there's so much continuously written about poor Olivia Jade.
Oh, she's pissed now.
She lost another sponsor, and she's angry with her parents for ruining her life.
Ruining her life. I got news. I'm going to predict the future here. Olivia Jade will be just fine in life.
Oh, I think she'll be fine, too, because her parents are loaded.
Yeah,
beyond loaded. I mean,
beautiful.
They paid $500,000 to pervert the SAT scores. So the funny thing is, though, she thinks that I had this incredible business going. I had sponsors, and they've ruined it. Now, do you think that Olivia Jade, if her mother wasn't Laura, what's her name? Lori, I'm mispronouncing her name.
I don't know, Lori Loughlin.
Aunt Becky.
Yeah.
And her father wasn't Massimo, that she would have.
By the way,
this...
I think he's in love with his first name. I think he thinks that's like the coolest name.
I think you're right. Because her last name is Giuliani. I never hear him called Giuliani, is it? Or Julie?
I don't
something
even know.
Like that. Anyway.
No one knows because all he ever says is, I am Massimo.
And she goes by Olivia Jade.
They would think that's a great name.
What 19-year-old is called Olivia Jade when their last name is Giuliani or whatever?
I thought it was really funny. I think it was John Oliver that pointed out, too, that she had OJ in
her. The initials, yeah, which she got from Amazon.
Yeah, but at USC?
Yeah, OJ.
Really, really funny.
Pretty, not really thinking too hard about that one.
Isn't that a funny name, huh?
Olivia Jade, so yeah, her parents ruined her life. Well, really, would she have had 2.8 million?
No.
Instagram followers, no. If her mother wasn't Aunt Becky and her father wasn't Massimo.
She's really angry with her parents because she told them,
I didn't want to go, and look what it did.
If you didn't go to college, you wouldn't have those deals that you have. And she didn't seem terribly upset on YouTube.
She wouldn't have had all those followers if her mother wasn't Aunt Becky.
No.
Don't you think Aunt Becky got some people to, follow her, retweet her, whatever? And Massimo probably helped her get some of those deals.
She says the downfall of her career. What is her career? Just being hot?
Yes. Being hot and having lots of people on Instagram watching her do her makeup.
Oh boy.
And her stupid YouTube channel. Oh, I just want all these people eliminated.
I say get your resumes ready.
By the way, I was talking about the internet today.
Yeah.
Because...
That seems like a very generic conversation.
I know. But
hey,
I was
the internet.
Shouldn't the internet, what if the internet was broken down into like five internets? Like one internet was porn.
Okay.
One was all politics.
Hey there, the net.
One was entertainment. And then the reason I thought of it was
all those
because,
mixed together, though, man.
I know, but it's such a clusterfuck. I mean, if porn was its own internet, would it be easier to keep kids off porn, for example? But I know the answer. You don't have to say the answer. The answer is they want everyone on porn. They don't care how old they are. They want the clicks.
They'll find their way anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was you had to pay something extra or you had to have an adult pay for it or a credit card.
My brother used to change the channel instead of off of channel 3 where the cable box would come in, put it on 4, and then change the cable box to a certain number, and you could watch it through squiggly lines. There's always a way around something.
Well, probably, but it's a lot easier now, isn't it?
Well,
honestly,
yeah,
if you have Google, if you have a cell phone and you can Google, you can watch anything.
That's why you gotta have. That's why you gotta monitor them.
Oh yeah, right. That's really working out well, isn't it? Oh,
come on, give me some
hope. And you've also got kids with friends who aren't monitored.
Oh man!
Just like Mans was saying, is you know they're not supposed to watch something, but they watch it at their friend's house. Those are Maz's kids.
Yeah. Tom probably puts it on. Tom's the one that gives them the phone when they're supposed to not have the phone on them.
I love
my kids is listening to this.
I love the percentages of people using that plan for grandma.
Grandma's being used
0.4 points.
She's being used. Well,
she's not being billed though. That was a.
Oh, that's
that
true.
Was pretty
it's a
major
win. It's a win-win.
News. Yeah.
Good for grandma.
Well, why don't we wind it up?
Already.
And then I'm looking forward to tomorrow when Brandon returns from the play date. His daughter's play date.
He just sent a video of the kids playing. I guess that was his way of saying it. There is really something going on here.
I need to worry about the show when your daughter has a play date.
If that's all it takes to get out, I'm going to schedule some play dates. But then I have to be there.
All right. I want to mention again, No BS News with Huel Perkins. Just out on Sunday, and I thought it was, you know, if you're a fan of Huel or a fan of Charlie or you're a fan of this show, you might like it because the three of us spent about an hour, and the idea was Huel was the special guest, and I thought Huel, even though we were expecting him to come in, which would have been great, still worked out. I thought it was a fantastic show. Hopefully we can get some extra eardrums on it. And ML Elric, The Soul of Detroit is the name of the podcast. And please like and rate these shows, by the way, on iTunes. Even if they won't ask you to, I'll ask you to do it. And No Filter Sports tomorrow, which should be available around probably late morning or noon.
Yeah.
And they'll be talking about the first weekend of March Madness.
Sweet 16 will be set.
With Eli Denny and Bob Page. Bob Page is quite a character, by the way. Yeah. I really didn't know Bob Page.
Did you know he replaced Howard Cosell?
Yes, I did know that. Bob's lost a lot of jobs. He's had a lot of great jobs.
Yeah.
He worked for Madison Square Garden and used to rip the Rangers and the Knicks so bad. Finally, the new ownership said, why are we paying this guy to do this?
What a joke.
But Bob is really good and a nice addition to the show. So anyway, hope you check them all out, or one of them. And you better stay here. We'll see you tomorrow.